Hey, morning. It's Julie here. And I just want to introduce a series of videos that I've been putting together based on what I've been noticing about myself at this time. So I know that we're in this strange COVID time where there's a sense of things going back, the shops are opening, we're allowed to be in pods. There's talk of schools reopening in September in classes of 30. And yet, COVID's obviously still around. People will still get it. And I've been reading a lot about the work of Joanna Macy and Michael Lerner and various other kind of thinkers who talk about systems theory. And systems theory is this idea that there's such complexity that it's hard to predict what will happen. And so if you think about what's happening at the moment, there's obviously, COVID's affecting the economy, it's affecting families, it's affecting education, it's affecting, and in lots of ways, you know, this was completely unpredictable when we all celebrated New Year's Eve. We didn't know that this is where we were going to be. And so that's an example of complexity, how that a part of the system, so in this case, kind of, it's come from our relationship to the environment. That's how the disease came in to humans, is our close proximity to the environment. And who could have predicted that that would have ended up with the chain of events that we've had? And so for me, it's that sense of there's a real tipping point here, an opportunity for change if we choose to take it. And I'm recognizing that with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, there's lots of kind of tension for some people, lots of fear and lots of uncertainty. And when we go into fear and uncertainty, we tend to go into freeze and want to things to kind of go back to how they were. Business as usual is the story that Joanna Macy talks about, where we want everything to go back how it was, even though deep down we know nothing's as it was, because for lots of people, livelihoods have changed, people have lost people, and obviously the illness is still in the environment. And so I was just reflecting on the kind of process that I've been going through, because to sort of stay with not knowing, when I'm still doing a lot of coaching at the moment, and a lot of people are really struggling with not knowing what's going to happen next and really wanting to have a clear sense of what certainty. And the problem with wanting certainty is that if we're grasping onto things that are certain, they're things that have been and that have worked, or did they work? You know, did the economy work? So we're trying to get the economy back on for growth. But listening to, you know, kind of tuning in with my own feelings, listening to clients over the years, you know, what has the economy grown apart from profit? For some people, obviously, not for lots of people. And what it certainly hasn't grown from my perspective as a coach is well-being, nor has it grown kind of family attachments or relaxed parenting and relationships, because we've all been so busy, we've been commuting, we've been hither and thither. And so we hold on to, I want to get back to the growth economy, but actually that grasping onto certainties is holding on to things which were, which maybe now there's a tipping point to think about what could be different. And I think it's very tempting at these times to rely on our brain to have the answer. But I think it was Einstein that said something about you can't solve the problem from the same mindset as caused the problem. And I think it's our over-reliance on our cognitive capacities without paying attention to our affective capacities, so our feelings, and our somatic capacities, so our body. We've become literally disembodied. We've gone up into our heads. And there's increasing biological research for those of you that like that. Stephen Porges' research on the vagal system. So we've known about the fight and flight mechanism of stress. And that's not only affects your thinking, but it affects your biology, your heart rate, etc. But also now the research that Stephen Porges has done on the vagus nerve, is that actually this is a nerve that goes right down from our brain, right the way through our body and through our heart into our gut. And so actually that sense of kind of having heart pangs, or we've got a gut-wrenching feeling, actually, you know, there's a biology behind that. And so increasingly, I think the science is showing kind of maybe what some of the kind of more alternative practices have known for a long time, which is that when we tune into our feelings and when we tune into our body, we might find different wisdoms from just what our disembodied cognition is going to come up with just our head, because our head is full of thoughts about what we should do, what we ought to do, what we have done. And of course, a lot of that is based on the past, it's based on social conditioning, it's based on our family, it's based on our own experience. And so for me, there's been a real, at this time, wanting to kind of tune in, not only to myself, but also I'm noticing that I'm much more connected with the environment. And I think that partly comes from a cognitive understanding that that's how this disease has crossed over. Also just watching the exponential spread of the disease around the world, and that really noticing how connected we all are, and how invisibly connected, you know, you breathe out, I breathe in the virus. But also just having had more time in nature. And so this process that I want to share with you is a process, it's a really simple process, but it's been a way of tuning in with a kind of inner wisdom that's allowed me to stay with not knowing, and to any changes that have kind of come from the bottom up rather than from my head down. They kind of feel like they're emergent changes. I'm just going to check my notes because I think there was loads of stuff that I wanted to say. I've said a lot of it. I've read a book by a woman called Linda Kahanoff about how horses sense what's in the environment and sense pick up from each other. So I think anyone that's ever felt stressed around someone else's stress will know that. She talks about what a Chinese term called wu wei, which is the art of doing nothing. And actually it is an art, isn't it? One that I struggle with and that lots of people struggle with. But actually in this time, having done less, there certainly has been more wisdom for me has arisen. And from that, some guidance about how to proceed. If we see this as an opportunity, COVID is an opportunity to live life differently, then some of the ways that we might do that, I think, are not going to emerge from the same old ways that we've always done things. And so tuning into ourselves and the environment are a way of doing that. So I've just got some really nice quotes that have really helped me at this time. So Rilke. So Rilke's a German poet. And I love what he says here about not knowing, really. I feel that there was no one anywhere who can answer for you those questions and feelings which in their depth have a life of their own. But even the most articulate people are unable to help, since what words point to is very delicate and almost unsayable. Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms, like books that are now written in a foreign language. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything, live the questioning now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into an answer. So I love that, because it's that idea of actually, let's live our questions. Let's not rush to easy answers. Let's just see what emerges. And another of his poems, Sonnets to Orpheus 2, I'm an old English teacher, remember? Mothers and fathers shaped by children to come, who in their turn will overtake them. We are endlessly offered into life. All time is ours. And what any one of us might be worth, death alone knows and does not tell. And so for me, that's that sense of decisions about how we live now are going to affect generations hence. So if we continue to push ourselves to work as hard as we have been working, to have money to spend, you know, all of us at this time have realized how much money we've saved because we haven't been just popping into that shop or that coffee shop. And so if we're spending less, then we don't have to earn so much. And if we don't have to earn so much, maybe we don't have to work so hard. So maybe we can spend more time with our loved ones. And if we were to do that, what would the social benefits of that are? And if you read any of the research by Gabor Maté or Bessel van der Kolk, you know, the effect of broken attachments or insecure attachments or stressed attachments are long term. The early childhood experiences study all talk about how actually stressful kind of environments for children really affect their long term health, their mental health, all of which of course has a social cost. So really thinking about those sorts of things. The other quotes that I've got down here are, I like this, the idea that Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a Buddhist monk, said that if there is going to be a next Buddha, it will be a Sangha. Now, a Sangha in Buddhist terms is a group or a meeting of people. It's not one person having the answer. And I think that as we look at COVID, what it has done is connected us in different ways, whether that's using something like this, Zoom, or whether it's actually we've got to know our neighbours a bit more. And that sense of kind of circles. And I think ages ago on the blog did a thing about how, I think the blog is called We Need a New Paradigm. And it was talking very much about how we have to redefine what success means and look at how we organise life. And it seems to me that 2020, you know, we have that saying, don't we, 2020 vision, and it means a clear way of seeing, a different way of seeing. And actually, for me, it is all about the seas. You know, that not, I don't know how to move things forward, but I do know that hierarchy and an endless sense of needing to grow upwards, the economy isn't working. It doesn't work for huge portions of our population, let alone other populations. And the idea that we need to keep achieving what, you know, and you know, all the research shows that once you have a certain level of income, actually it doesn't increase happiness after that, and it does decrease mental health and well-being if we're stressed. So things like circles, you know, sitting in circles, having conversation, collaboration, rather than I'm right, you're wrong, really building connections and thinking about that idea from the Rilke poem about what are we leaving for our children? What is the world going to be like for our children and their children? What's going to be our legacy? When we look back at this time, you know, what will our grandchildren say about what we did to deal with all the crises, whether it's economic crises, climate crises, you know, race issues at the moment, you know, how do we become a more compassionate, connected, conversational, collaborative world? And I think this process that I've put together is my attempt to answer some of that. So thank you for listening. I don't know if that was too wordy. You know what I'm like. So the next video will be step one. Okay, bye.